Happy Mom's Day to all you dads out there. Well, you know the saying, if mom isn't happy, then nobody's happy. So if she has a happy day, then I think you're going to have a happy day. There's a lot of mothers that are mentioned in the Bible. Probably mentioned quite a few of them if you really sat there and thought about it. Mother of Moses, mother of Samuel, mother of John the Baptist, mother of Jesus, our Lord. And those are all specific moms. But today we celebrate all mothers, whether they're famous or whether they're not. Even stay-at-home moms, don't think that you're insignificant because you're a stay-at-home mom. Stay-at-home moms are very special. And I'll tell you why. Because the Lord gave you a particular child or children, special for you to raise up. And that's why you have to be extra, extra special. I think stay-at-home moms are more special than first lady moms. Really. So let's start at the beginning. What is a mother? And for that profound definition, I went to Webster. Webster says, a mother is a woman in relation, I know, isn't that profound itself? No. A woman in relation to a child or children to whom she has given birth or adopted. And then it has meaning number two. It is also any female animal in relation to its offspring. They're moms. We can learn much from the animal kingdom. In fact, I have one that I can relate to you. Did you know the giraffe is the only mammal that gives birth standing up? Yeah. When it's time, the baby just drops out, plop. If you know a giraffe, it falls about maybe 10 feet to the ground. And it's not like a cat. It does not land on its feet. It just falls like a blob. There it is. And it struggles, and it struggles, and it struggles, and it finally stands up, wobbling. And then the mother turns around and kicks its feet out so it lands flat on the ground again. And it goes through the same thing, trying to stand up. And the mom kicks it down again, and it stands up, and it kicks it down again. And the mother will do that 4, 5, 6 times until little baby giraffe can get up quickly and run away from mom that's torturing him. And you know in the animal kingdom there's a reason for that. Because the giraffe's only defense against its predators is to run. And if that little tyke can't get up and run quickly, then it's food for someone else. I don't suggest any of you mothers try giving birth that way. And I know you don't, because human mothers nurture and cuddle their babies. Usually it's the mother that raises the child up for the first 5 years. And around that age, and it's different for everybody, the father has to take a more active role in providing knowledge and wisdom and godly love for a well-adjusted child. The child on earth learns love from its earthly father, and then relates and learns the love of the Heavenly Father. But today's not about fathers. It's about mothers. So I'm going to look at a few of them in Scripture. I'm going to first go to Genesis 1, because I said I'll start at the beginning. And I'm not going to read a lot of Scripture today. But Genesis 1, verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and the Lord said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So he created both of us, us guys and you beautiful women. And Adam called his wife woman. It sounds a little crude, but it isn't really. Woman means female, or can mean wife also. He did not give her the name of Eve, actually until after the fall. And then he called her Eve, meaning life giver, or the first woman. So we know Eve became the first mother. Scripture doesn't tell us a whole lot about her. It does say that she was created on the sixth day, and not until after Adam had viewed all the animals of the world and named them. And there was not a helpmeet for him. Romans tells us, and you know the verse, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know Adam and Eve were no different. Eve, she took the fruit from the forbidden tree, gave it to her husband, and he did eat. And because she did that, it says her punishment was to be an increase in sorrow and pain in childbirth. God's will was for man and woman to have children. He says, replenish the earth. Have children. I don't think childbirth was meant to be painful. It was only after the fall that he increase that. Adam calls her the mother of all living in chapter 3. It says three sons of Eve are mentioned here that we know of, Cain, Abel, and Seth. And then others are all mentioned, obviously, because those were three boys, and there had to be more females. But it doesn't mention their names. What does God say about moms? Does he speak of moms in the Scripture? In Exodus 20, he speaks of mothers. Exodus 20, he says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That's a wise and a very good command, because honoring your parents is an essential building block for a healthy and a stable society. To honor your parents is to prize them. What does that mean, prize them? You're at a carnival with your girlfriend, and as you walk by this challenging booth, she says, I like that big teddy bear. Oh, this one? No, this one. And you spend probably $30, $40, $50 trying to win that prize. In other words, cost is of no object. And neither is effort. You will stay there all day trying to break the balloon that's this big to get that teddy bear. That's what prize your parents means. It means you do whatever it takes. You honor them. You care for them. You show respect, reverence to them. Reverence to your parents. Now, when I was a young boy and I read that and I was told that, I thought that only applies to children. But even though some of us are quite up there in age, it applies to us, even in our old age. As long as your parent, your mother, your father is still here, you are their child, and you honor and reverence them. God's commandment applies to everybody, young and old. There's no age restriction of honoring your mother. Paul in Ephesians 6 speaks of it. And he uses the word children, obey your parents. Well, who's a child? Relation to my mother and father, I'm still a child. When Jesus was on the shore and Peter and other disciples were out there fishing, what did he call to them? Children, have you any food? We're all children. Paul says, obey your parents. In other words, Josiah, it means come when they call you, or go when they send you. Do what they tell you to do. Don't do what they forbid you to do. It means obey them cheerfully. In principles of love. When you get to be my age, you are to comfort them in their old age. Make it easy for them when they're old. They don't have to struggle. That's not a popular doctrine in this world today. And today, youth is worshipped. Old age? It's dreaded, and sometimes it's despised. The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. There's a blessing that's attached to it. Most people forget that blessing. It's like the book of Revelation. There's a blessing reading that book. There's a blessing to obeying the fifth commandment. It seems that long life in the promised land is attached to obedient children. Those that do their duty to their parents will have comfort. Those that support their parents, they're going to find that God's going to support them because he takes care of his own. Mothers, very special people. Do you know what mothers are? They're everything. They're a teacher. They're a chef. They're a housemaid. They're a doctor. They're a referee. It goes on and on. You can think of many more that they are. The meaning of mother is synonymous with sacrifice. And yet, they do these little special things for their children. If I can remain unemotional here, I remember my mother. I remember the little special things she used to do for me. You know, my mother used to not only just wash my clothes as a kid, she would iron and fold my underwear. My shorts and my t-shirt would be all folded and ironed so that when I got up in the cold morning, if she was up early ironing, she would give me a warm t-shirt to put on. And when I was older, spending time in Vietnam, every single week, I would get a package, and it would have special homemade goodies that all my buddies loved. Well, you have to share over there because, unfortunately, some guys did not get a package every week. Look at a mother of the caliber that it says, teacher, chef, housemaid, doctor. Look at this caliber. I'm going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 to look at the first mother. And you know just by the chapter and verse, it's Hannah. She had no children when we first read of her. And she prayed, and she prayed to the Lord. If you give me a male child, Lord, I will give him back to you all the days of his life. She went and went so desperately that she promised him back to God if he gave her one. That's the sacrifice part of the motherhood. He gave her a son, Samuel. And after he was weaned, she brought him to the temple to stay and be raised in the house of the Lord. And look at the special things Hannah did for her son. It says in verse 19 of chapter 2, his mother, Samuel's mother, used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. She never forgot about her son because she gave him up to the Lord. She still cared for him and would make him these special robes to wear as he grew. Samuel, in return, honored his mother. Now, how did he honor? He obeyed her vow to the Lord. She vowed to give her son to God all his days. He obeyed his mother and served the Lord all the days of his life. That's a strong commitment for a young boy that maybe wanted to go play baseball, but he saw what was more important was serving God. There's another mother in the Bible that had a son obey her. Luke 2:42. And when this son was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem with his parents, as was the custom for the feast. And when the feast was over, they returned, but he stayed behind in the temple. And the parents, not knowing it, traveled a whole day, thinking he was among their relatives, which was common in those days. Because you traveled quite a distance to get to the temple, you traveled in a big group, and your family and cousins and all that came. And oh, he's playing with his cousin somewhere, but they didn't find him. And when they finally went back to Jerusalem and searched for 3 more days, how many here can imagine 4 days not knowing where their young 12-year-old is? And they found him. What did he say to his parents? Didn't you know I must be about my father's business? They didn't understand. Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew who he was. He knew what he had to do. But what does he do next? It says he went down with them to Nazareth and was subject to them. He obeyed his parents. Obedience. And look again. Same son. He's a man now. 30, 31. He's at a wedding feast that he was invited to. Probably some friends or relatives were getting married, and he's at the feast with his mother. He knows he's the Son of God. He knows what his mission is. His mother also knows he's the Son of God. She was told that before his birth. The wedding runs out of wine. I had to close my eyes to picture this, because picture this. Son, most people say he was about 6 foot. Mary, probably young, small. Son, they have no wine. What's that got to do with me? That's what he says. What does your concern have to do with me? It's not my time yet, mother. Does she argue with him? No. She looks at the servants and says, whatever he says to do, do it. And then she probably left. I love that. Because whatever he tells us to do, we have to do it. There's no argument there. So, he turns gallons of water into wine. I think they said there were 6 containers there, 20 to 30 gallons a container. He says, fill them all up and then bring it to the master of the feast. And it's the best wine they ever had. He obeys his mother. What else is implied in this 5th commandment? That the Jews, the Pharisees, tried to avoid. You take care of your aging parents. Jesus is dying on the cross for me, for the world. And he looks out there and he sees his mother. Now, there's no husband here. Obviously, Joseph has died years ago. Who's going to take care of his mother? And he sees the disciple John. And he says, Mom, he's your son. And he says, John, that's your mother now. And it says, from that day, that very hour, John took her into his home as his mother. Jesus took care of his mom, even as he bled on the cross. He does what he commands us to do. Anybody can say, do this, and then go out and get drunk. My father could not tell me, son, don't smoke, if he had a cigarette in his hand. Because you're a hypocrite. Jesus did what he tells us to do. I want to look at another mother. This is not going to be a long, drawn-out affair. This mother has no name in the Bible. She's described. Jump over to Proverbs 31. She's described as a virtuous woman. You almost have to read the whole proverb before it even mentions she's a mother. But mothers and wives kind of intermingle in that name. So I'm going to slide down to verse 10. I could start at the beginning. Did you know a lot of theologians think that this is the words of Bathsheba talking to Solomon before he became king? Has merit. So he writes, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so she will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. This husband can trust this wife completely. Total trust, total confidence. She is pure and she is honest. And he doesn't have to worry. She's a woman of character. And that's the key. Just as wisdom is more important than wealth, character is more important than jewels. Peter gave this same counsel to wives when he wrote 1 Peter. Marriage does not change a person's character. Any weaknesses in either the husband or the wife is going to be revealed in marriage. And if you hope, or if you think you can change your spouse after the honeymoon is all over, you're going to be disappointed. It rarely, I'll say, works that way. If brides and grooms take their vows of love and loyalty that they repeat to each other in front of God seriously, they build a wall of confidence all around their marriage that will keep out all enemies. In our virtuous mother, verse 13, it says she seeks wool and flax, willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. In other words, she does the shopping. She goes out to the market and she picks out food for the week or the month or however you shop. She works with her hands, making things. Afghans. Mittens. My mom always made me new mittens every winter. She's industrious, in other words. She gets up early. She's busy with her chores before the children get up out of bed. it implies here she's preparing the very best for her family. And they have no reason to be ashamed of her. None. It says her children rise up and call her blessed. That's verse 28. Her husband also calls her blessed, and he praises her. Boy, it's a wonderful thing when husbands and children praise their wife and mother because of her faithful ministry in the home. She's, a lot of times, she's the attentive overseer of the household. I am so many times reminded of things that need to be done by my wife because the mind forgets it. That's not nagging. Not if it's things that need to be done and I should be doing them. That's not nagging. That's reminding. Don't ignore praising your mother or your wife for all the wonderful things she does. She deserves it. And not just on Mother's Day. Every single day should be Mother's Day. Verse 25. It says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Her clothing, they're not talking about these garments we're wearing. They're talking about her strength. There's a saying somebody said, I don't know who. Behind every good man is a great woman. And there's a lot of truth in that. If you look at the presidency itself, the first lady, I think, is asked to speak in places a lot more often than the president is. Virtuous, a strong force. That means powerful. She's a powerful force in the family, in the household. Able-bodied, active woman. Boaz called Ruth a virtuous woman. The secret of this woman, this mother, this wife's life is that she feared the Lord. Verse 30 says, charm and deceitful and is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. It's a wonderful thing when your wife or your mother has charm and beauty. There's no sin to possess those qualities. You can be good-looking and gorgeous. But the woman that walks with the Lord, seeks to please Him, has a beauty that will never fade. Never. The man out here who has a wife that reads the word, prays, seeks to obey God's will, he has a treasure that is worth more than a chest of rubies. Finally, her testimony her life is a testimony to everyone else. Her husband and her children acknowledge her value. They praise her. But so do the people in the community. They see this man has a gem. A kind-hearted woman gains respect. You probably heard a saying that nobody deserves respect. You earn it by how you treat others, by how you live your life, by how you follow after God. God will see it to that woman who faithfully serves him and her family is properly honored. This beautiful tribute to the godly wife and mother tells every Christian woman what she can become if she follows the Lord. It also describes for every Christian man the kind of wife that he should be looking and praying for. This is the wife and mother God honors because she honors God. Her husband praises her. Her children praise her. Guys, aren't we lucky that each one of us has one of these beautiful wives and mothers? How thankful we are to be to God for picking that special, virtuous woman to spend the life with us. What a blessing they are. What a joy. What an asset to the husband, to their family, and to God. All you guys, thank you, Lord, for a virtuous wife. Let's close out. Father, we thank you for wisdom, for the instruction, for the knowledge you have given us in your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can learn how to live our life on this earth through your word. What to seek, what to avoid. And help us, Lord, to seek you, your kingdom, and your righteousness above everything else. And now, Lord God, preserve in our hearts these truths, that they may become the guiding principles in our lives. In Jesus' name we come to you. Amen. And don't forget, mothers, there's a rose for every mother in the back. And never stop praying for your children.